if he lived. In this uncertainty about the place of the Theaetetus, it seemed better, as in the case of the Republic, to Meius Critias, to retain the order in which Plato himself has arranged this and the two companion dialogues. We cannot exclude the possibility which has been already noticed in reference to other works of Plato, that the Theaetetus may not have been all written continuously, or the probability that the Sophist and the Politicus, which differ greatly in style, were only appended after a long interval of time. The allusion to Parmenides compared with the Sophist would probably imply that the dialogue which is called by his name was already in existence, unless indeed we suppose the passage in which the allusion occurs to have been inserted afterwards. Again, the Theaetetus may be connected with the Gorgias, either dialogue from different points of view containing an analysis of the real and apparent, Schleiermacher, and both may be brought into relation with the Apology as illustrating the personal life of Socrates. The Philebus, too, may with equal reason be placed either after or before what, in the language of Thrasyllus, may be called the Second Platonic Trilogy. Both the Parmenides and the Sophist, and still more the Theaetetus, have points of affinity with the Cratylus, in which the principles of rest and motion are again contrasted, and the sophistical or Protagorean thought of language is opposed to that which is attributed to the disciple of Heraclitus, not to speak of lesser resemblances in thought and language. The Parmenides, again, has been thought by some to hold an intermediate position between the Theaetetus and the Sophist. Upon this view, the Sophist may be regarded as the answer to the problems about one and being which have been raised in the Parmenides. Any of these arrangements may suggest new views to the student of Plato. None of them can lay claim to an exclusive probability in its favour. The Theaetetus is one of the narrated dialogues of Plato, and is the only one which is supposed to have been written down. In a short introductory scene, Euclides and Terpsion are described as meeting before the door of Euclides' house in Megara. This may have been a spot familiar to Plato, for Megara was within a walk of Athens, but no importance can be attached to the accidental introduction of the founder of the Megarian philosophy. The real intention of the preface is to create an interest about the person of Theaetetus, who has just been carried up from the army at Corinth in a dying state. The expectation of his death recalls the promise of his youth, and especially the famous conversation which Socrates had with him when he was quite young, a few days before his own trial and death, as we are once more reminded at the end of the dialogue. Yet we may observe that Plato has himself forgotten this when he represents Euclides as from time to time coming to Athens and correcting the copy from Socrates' own mouth. The narrative having introduced Theaetetus and having guaranteed the authenticity of the dialogue, compare Symposium Phaedo Parmenides, is then dropped. No further use is made of the device. As Plato himself remarks, who in this, as in some other minute points, is imitated by Cicero, De Amicitia, the interlocutory words are omitted. Theaetetus, the hero of the Battle of Corinth and of the dialogue, is a disciple of Theodorus, the great geometrician, whose science is thus indicated to be the propria deotic to philosophy. An interest has been already excited about him by his approaching death, and now he is introduced to us anew by the praises of his master Theodorus. He is a youthful Socrates, and exhibits the same contrast of the fair soul and the ungainly face and frame, the Silenus mask and the god within, which are described in the Symposium. The picture which Theodorus gives of his courage and patience and intelligence and modesty is verified in the course of the dialogue. His courage is shown by his behaviour in the battle, and his other qualities shine forth as the argument proceeds. Socrates takes an evident delight in the wise Theaetetus, who has more in him than many bearded men. He is quite inspired by his answers. At first, the youth is lost in wonder, and is almost too modest to speak, but encouraged by Socrates, he rises to the occasion and grows full of interest and enthusiasm about the great question. Like a youth, he has not finally made up his mind, and is very ready to follow the lead of Socrates, and to enter into each successive phase of the discussion which turns up. His great dialectical talent is shown in his power of drawing distinctions, and of foreseeing the consequences of his own answers.